Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that emphasizes God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Friday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm continuing a series talking about the believer's authority. This is a six-part series that I have. I have CDs on this. I have a DVD that was taken directly from television. I have a DVD that was recorded at one of our Gospel Truth seminars where I taught on this. I've got a brand new book entitled The Believer's Authority, subtitled What You Didn't Learn in Church. And I have this nearly, I think it's 380-something page manual that is basically a teaching tool to teach this subject of the believer's authority. So anyway, I've got a lot of materials on this. And like I said, today is the end of my fourth week of teaching on the believer's authority. So I've covered so much material, I can't go back through it all. But let me just say that what I've done is basically show that God has already done His part. He's generated the power. He placed this power on the inside of us. And now it's up to us whether the life of God manifests in our life. Now, I know that the way I'm phrasing that is offensive to a lot of people, because basically religion has gone out of our way to say we can do nothing, we are nothing, we are totally dependent upon God. And I agree with that. But what I'm saying is I am not without God. God has placed His power on the inside of me. And now if I don't stand up and start speaking and releasing my faith and acting aggressively as a believer that God has already provided these things, it won't manifest. You can pray and pray and pray for healing and for victory and deliverance and joy and peace, and you can spend the rest of your life asking, and you can be sincere and you can be a moral person and a good person, and it's not going to happen until you believe and start taking authority over yourself and resisting the discouragement and resisting all of the sickness and the poverty, and you start fighting and using your authority. And over the last 4 weeks, I've said this over and over and over in a million different ways, that God's already done His part. Now it's up to us to take our authority and release this power of God, not go to God and ask Him for it. The Scripture says, and I've used a bunch of these Scriptures already, so I won't turn back to it, but all power in heaven and earth has been given unto Jesus. Then He turns around and gives it to us. And here we are saying, oh God, give me more power. You don't need more power. You need to believe what He said and take the authority and begin to use this power. You don't need God to heal you. 1 Peter 2:24 says, by His stripes you were healed. What you need to do is believe that God did what He said that He did. According to Ephesians 1:19, He put this raising from the dead power on the inside of you. And now stand up and use your authority and make that healing power of God that He's deposited in you come out and manifest itself. And I know that what I'm saying is, again, just diametrically opposed to most people. And that's the reason I keep saying it over and over and over. But I'm telling you, we've used so many scriptural examples of where this happened. What I started on our program yesterday is trying to put a little balance to this. Because if a person understands what I've said and all of a sudden starts realizing, man, I can make things happen. I'm not just sitting in the back seat along for the ride. Que sera, sera, whatever will be. But God has put me in the driver's seat. I can literally make things happen. I can make the power of God manifest, not in the sense that I'm forcing God, but God has already determined what His will is. And if I know that this is God's will, I can get in and make it come to pass by standing on the Word of God. When a person gets hold of that truth, then one of the things that they start doing is just going out and trying to use this authority. And often they will try and use it for selfish reasons, which God will never back you up on that. You've got to get rid of this self-interest. You can't use the Word of God to hurt other people. You can't use your authority to just steamroll other people. Man, the kingdom of God operates off of love. You've got to understand these things. So how do you put this into its proper balance? And one of the things that has helped me is to realize that all you're doing when you're using your authority is enforcing what God has already commanded to come to pass. Now, that's an important statement. Authority is just enforcing laws, enforcing promises that God has already made, provisions that have already been made. And if you understand this, then what it does, see, this limits you from going out and claiming somebody else's house or car or wife, or it limits you from just trying to be a billionaire and step over everybody and stab them in the back, and you're using your authority as a believer to do that. No, you can't exercise the authority that God has given us in any way contrary to what He has provided. Everything that God is going to do in your life has already been accomplished through Jesus. And so, here's another way of saying it. Authority can only appropriate what God has already provided through Jesus' atonement. If Jesus didn't provide it, you can't make it happen. You can't go out here and hurt another person with your power and authority as a believer because God didn't provide that. God is love, and He came and humbled Himself and served. So you've got to learn these laws. You got to find out, what is it that God has given you? What are some of the things that you can stand and claim and take your authority and make come to pass? What are the limits to that type of authority? And I was using as an example yesterday the example of from Mark chapter 5, where this woman who had an issue of blood came and touched the hem of His garment and made the healing power of God flow. It just flowed out of Jesus. He didn't look at her, see what she had done, and then release it. It just flowed because there are laws that govern how things work. And I talked about, here's one of the laws, is that you have to hear. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. So it says, first of all, in verse 27, Mark 5:27, when she had heard of Jesus. So here's one of those laws. She heard. Faith came by hearing. And then she said in verse 28, for she said, if I may touch but His clothes, I shall be whole. You've got to release the power of God, release the authority that God has given you by saying, by speaking words. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, Proverbs 18:21. She also acted. She didn't just hear. She didn't just say, but she acted. She pushed through that crowd. And, you know, I won't take a lot of time with this, but there are many scriptures that talk about that anybody who had an issue of blood was unclean, and if they touched anybody or anything, like if a person with an issue of blood sat on a saddle and that blood touched the saddle was unclean. If you touched a bowl, the bowl was unclean. Your garment's unclean. Any person who touched you was unclean. And they had to go through all these ceremonies to get back into being clean again. And because of this, the person who was unclean literally had to yell, unclean, and give people notice so that they could clear out and not come near them. And if they didn't do that, they could be stoned to death. That was the situation at this time. So for this woman to get into this crowd, and it says that people were thronging Jesus. That means they were shoulder to shoulder. They were pushing. You know what? She touched a lot of people. And if these people would have known that she was unclean, they could have. I'm not saying that they would have, but they would have had the right to have stoned this woman. And not only did she take her life in her hand and she acted. See, that's one of the ways that you release your authority is to act. If you say that I'm healed, but then you're going to lay in bed and act sick, your actions don't correspond with your words. So you got to hear, you got to speak, and you have to act accordingly. This woman put her life in her hands because she knew that she was going to be healed. And also it says she touched the hem of His garment. Just picture this. If you had a group, if I had 100 people around me right now, and all of them were pressing towards me from every side, and I was trying to walk through that crowd, can you see how that you could just bend over and reach down and touch the hem on my jeans down at the very bottom and at the ground? How could you do that in a throng? The only way I can picture this happening is that this woman was probably on her hands and knees pushing through that crowd. That's the only way she could have been down there at the hem of His garment. This woman was desperate. And again, it was a throng. It was a crowd. They could have stepped on her. They could have stoned her if they'd have known the situation. What this says to me is that this woman didn't just do what was easy, what was convenient. You know, there's a lot of people that God, I'm going to stand and I'm going to believe You. And if You can come through in the next 5 minutes before my favorite program comes on, well, then praise God, let's do it. But if it takes any more effort than that, if you have to, it's like a person watching TV and your remote's over on somewhere else. And there's a lot of people that won't even get up and go over and grab the remote. It's too much effort. You're just going to sit there and watch something you don't like because it's just too much effort. And then you'll gripe about it. You know what? You're going to have to put a little bit more effort into it than that to be able to release your authority and see the power of God come into manifestation. So this woman heard. Faith came by hearing. She spoke. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. She acted. Faith without works is dead. See, those are all ways that you release your authority. And she reached out and touched his garment, and in a sense, she took healing. She used her authority. She believed. She believed that God wanted her well. She believed it was provided because she had heard the stories of other people who had been healed. She had heard how that Jesus was not just dealing with the scribes and the Pharisees, but the prostitutes and the tax collectors. Jesus was loving them all. She had faith in her heart that he wasn't going to reject her based on her not being good enough. And so she reached out and took what God had provided for her. Man, now that's powerful. And you know, again, you could see this in, it's just constantly, constantly through the Word of God. You know, for time's sake, I'm not going to turn over there. I've got other teaching that goes into this. I've got entire teachings on this. But Moses is a man who tried to bring God's will to pass in his own strength and in his own power, killed a man thinking that that was the way that he was supposed to exercise his God-given authority. God had called him to be the deliverer. But see, God didn't want him to do it through killing people and doing it just through his own natural strength and power. See, it's an example of what I'm talking about, that yes, we've got authority, but how does God want you to use this authority? Well, in Moses' case, he did not want Moses to kill this Egyptian. And when Moses got out of being obedient to God and tried to exercise his power and authority in his own strength, it cost him 40 years in the wilderness, and it cost the children of Israel 30 years extra bondage. Now, some of you may be saying, where in the world did you come up with that? Well, I've got a teaching that could go into that. I'm not going to take time to do it right now. But after he finally encountered God in the burning bush, in the third chapter of the book of Exodus, and also it goes over into the fourth chapter, in the fourth chapter, God told him five different times. He says, you will go down there. They will hear you. They will obey. Now, 40 years before this, Moses was so self-willed that when God said, you're the deliverer, you're going to bring my people out, he didn't wait the 10 years until the prophecy of Genesis 15 was up. He just was self-willed. He was in a position where he was revered by people. He probably had been reading his own press releases. He was not God-dependent. He did things his own way, and it caused him to go into exile for 40 years. But after those 40 years, he had learned one thing, that God, I can't do it on my own. God, I need you. God, I'm not going to do anything unless you are the one flowing through me. So he had learned that one lesson, and that's a necessary lesson. But in the fourth chapter of the book of Exodus, God says, what do you have in your hand? And he says, it's a rod. It's just a stick. And he said, throw it on the ground. So Moses threw this stick on the ground, and when he did, it turned into a snake. He fled before it, and God called to him and said, take it up by the tail. Now, when you pick up a snake by the tail, that means that the snake is able to turn and bite you, and it could be death. And so that's not the way you're supposed to pick a snake up. You're supposed to pick it up right behind its jaws so that if its body's twisting and turning, those jaws can't turn and bite you. But the Lord said, pick up the snake by the tail. And you know what? Moses didn't have the benefit of knowing the last half of Exodus 4:4. He didn't know that the snake was going to turn back into a rod. From his perspective, not God didn't tell him what was going to happen. He just told him to pick up the snake by the tail. You know what this was? He had been self-willed 40 years before, and it cost him 40 years in the wilderness and the children of Israel 30 years extra bondage. Now God is seeing if he had learned his lesson. And he says, pick up this poisonous snake by the tail. And Moses didn't know that it was going to turn into a rod. He just had learned this, that you know what, if I ever get another chance, I'm going to do it God's way. I'll obey God. I'm going to do what God tells me. And he picked up the snake by the tail, and the scripture says it turned back into a rod. And then as you go on down in Exodus chapter 4, I believe it's verse 16 or 20, somewhere around there, it says that Moses returned to the land of Egypt and took the rod of God in his hand. It was no longer Moses' stick. It was no longer just a stick. It had become the rod of God. This rod was like a tool of his trade. He had laid his life, his trade down before God, and God told him to take it up, but not by the head, but by the tail. In other words, you're no longer in control. You trust me. Moses obeyed. It turned into not just a rod again, but the rod of God. And he went down to Egypt, and he did these 10 plagues. He turned the water and the river into blood. He caused lice to come up, frogs to come up, hail to come out of a clear sky, fire to run along on the ground, caused darkness over all the land for 3 days, and yet there was sunlight inside the dwellings of the Israelites. There was plagues among the cattle. The firstborn died. All of these things were done with the rod of God. But you know what? Moses, after they got out of the promised land in the 14th chapter of the book of Exodus, God told Moses to go camp in a place where the Red Sea was on one side and then there was two mountains on the other side, and they would look like they were trapped. There was no way to go. And God told Moses specifically in Exodus chapter 14 that Pharaoh is going to say you are entangled in the wilderness. In other words, you're in a box canyon, bad military position, and he would harden Pharaoh's heart. Pharaoh would come after him, and God told Moses, I'm going to destroy the Egyptians. You'll never have to see them again. So it was a trap. He set a trap for Pharaoh. And sure enough, Pharaoh started coming. When he did, the people panicked. They came to Moses. Would to God we had died in Egypt. Why did you bring us out here to die? And they wanted to appoint a captain and go back and ask for mercy from the Egyptians. And Moses stood up and said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And I've heard people preach on that as being a good thing. You know what? The next verse, it says that God spoke to Moses and said, wherefore criest unto me, get up off of your face. Take the rod and go put it over the Red Sea. You know what was really happening? Moses was in a bind. Here came the Egyptians. The people, his own people, were turning against him. It looked like he was helpless, like he was hopeless. And you know what he did after he made this bold proclamation? Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. I can imagine that all of a sudden the people stopped. They were no longer arguing. The armies were still coming. The sea was still here. The mountains. Everything, you know, he had quieted the crowd. But now what do you do? The problem is still there. It's getting worse by the second. And what I believe happened is Moses all of a sudden fell on his face and said, God, help. Oh, God, come do something. And you know what? The Lord said, get up off your face. Take the rod. Remember, it was the rod of God. In other words, you could say it this way. I have given you authority. That's no longer your stick. That's my stick. This stick had done 10 miraculous plagues in the land of Egypt. And he says, you take the rod and hold it out over there and you command the sea to part and you'll cross on dry land. You know what this really is? It's an illustration of what I've been talking about. That there was a time that Moses, that was nothing but just a stick. But after he had given it to God, God gave it back to him and it symbolized the authority. It was no longer Moses' rod. It was the rod of God. And when he got into a bind, he made a bold proclamation of faith, but then he fell on his face and started asking God, oh God, please move. Oh God, please do something. And God basically told him, Moses, I've given you the authority. You are the one with the power. You're the one with the stick. You hold that rod out over the Red Sea. And when he did, the sea parted and they went through, and then the Egyptians were drowned in that same sea. You know, that is a powerful illustration of what I'm trying to talk about. That there are times for us to pray and ask God to do something. But you know what? There's times for us to believe that God has done it. He's put this power on the inside of us. And now we've got to stand up and use our authority. You know, I learned this exact thing that I've just related today. I heard a man preach this about 40 years ago. And I was in a situation where I was facing an eviction. They were going to come in the morning and kick us out of our apartment and seize any of our possessions for payment because we were behind like 2 or 3 weeks. And I was doing everything I knew to do. There were reasons why I was in that situation, but anyway, that's another story. And I went to that meeting. I heard this man preach this. I went up and agreed and prayed. And I said, man, I need to take my authority. I'm doing what God's told me to do. And I agreed with this preacher, and we took the rod, the authority that God had given us, and we agreed. And I remember saying, if God has to turn a chair, I had this little folding chair at this desk we had, and I said, if God has to turn this chair into money, I command my needs to be met. I took my authority and spoke. And anyway, it's a long story that I won't take time to go into, but did you know about 3 o'clock that night, I had my brother-in-law come to my door, and he lived 100-and-something miles away, and he showed up and gave me the exact amount of money I had to have, which was all of the money that he had. He literally broke himself. And the amazing thing about this, my brother-in-law's always loved me and he's liked me. That's not the problem. But he just thought I was absolutely crazy. In himself, he would have never have done this. As a matter of fact, he was so upset with me that the reason it was 3 o'clock in the morning is because he had been driving around arguing with God when God told him to take his last penny that was in the bank and give it to me. He just said, nope, he deserves what he's getting. He shouldn't be doing this. It was a miracle. It was a greater miracle to have my brother-in-law do this than to have a total stranger do it. I tell you what, and I believe it's because I took my authority. I had been praying and asking God and waiting, but when I stood up and said, no, in the name of Jesus, I take my authority and I release that, that's when I saw this bondage break and our money came through and we were not evicted and our assets were not taken. And there were other things that happened. God showed me, you know, other things, but I'm saying, what a miracle. And that's the night that I learned this. And I have used this exact principle, I couldn't tell you how many hundreds of times, that I've passively gone and, oh God, would you please help me financially? Would you heal my body? Would you take away this discouragement and depression? And I go and I ask, and eventually you just get to a place and the Spirit of God rises up and I realize, you know what, God's done His part. He's put this power on the inside of me and I will not allow it. I will not permit this situation to continue. I can remember one time trying to sell a car for 3 weeks. I discounted the price. I nearly was giving it away, and nobody would take it. And finally, I just stood up and took my authority, and I mean, I took it to the devil. I commanded the devil to get off my case. I drove home to tell Jamie that that car is selling today. And before I could get it out of my mouth, she said, a man called. He's going to be down at the church in 10 minutes. He wants to buy your car. I didn't even get to tell her. And it just happened. And it made me wonder, why did I wait 3 weeks to stand up and take my authority? I tell you, I've got more to share on this, but I'm out of time today. But I believe that this is really, really helping you. Please listen to our announcer as he gives you some information about how you can get these materials. And then join me again next week as we continue the gospel truth.
The Believer's Authority is available for the very first time in book form and can be ordered through bookstores nationwide. Or you can receive a copy when you send a gift of any amount for the work of this ministry. Request book T327 when you write or call or when you go to our website. A Spanish version is also available. Request book T735. The Believer's Authority Companion Study Guide is available for a gift of $35 or more. Request study guide T427 when you contact the ministry. Andrew's complete teaching titled, The Believer's Authority, was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on DVD for a gift of any amount. Request DVD album T3205D when you contact us. You can also get Andrew's teaching as seen on TV. It's available on either CD or DVD when you send a gift of any amount. Request CD album T1045C or DVD album T1045D when you contact us. The fifth teaching in the audio CD album titled Law Enforcement is also available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this fifth CD free of charge. Request teaching number TL22 when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. You can use your credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Or you can reach us through our website, where you can order ministry materials online at awmi.net. If you prefer to write to us, our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. We appreciate your generosity. We hope to hear from you today.
You know, we have a lot of material on our website that is available to you free of charge. And I know that many of you are hearing things that just cause you to want more. And some of you don't want to wait until tomorrow. You can go to our website and you can get, I think I have something like 2,000 of my television programs on there that are free, that you can watch them right there. I have more than that, radio programs that go back over 10 years. I have hundreds of my teachings available. I have books that I've written, articles that I've written. Our Life for Today Bible commentary is on there, and there's just a wealth of material. So I encourage you to check it out. We've got the address on your screen, and please visit our website today.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. He'll be in Chicago, Illinois for a Gospel Truth seminar May 7th through the 9th, and in Amsterdam, Holland for the Eurospirit Conference May 21st through the 23rd. He'll also be in Raleigh, North Carolina for a Gospel Truth seminar June 11th through the 13th, and in Colorado Springs for the annual Summer Family Bible Conference June 29th through July 3rd. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
We're getting close to our Summer Family Bible Conference. It's going to be on June the 29th through July the 3rd, and it's going to be a great time for the whole family. We have children's ministry. We have it set up so that there are our CBC classes in the morning, but the afternoons are off, and then evening meetings. It's just a great time, and I believe that it could be a vacation for you and your whole family. The children will be blessed. So make plans to join me June the 29th through July the 3rd for our Summer Family Bible Conference.